The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This week has been a little crazy. Sit back and get your recap of what happened and what is happening in sports, entertainment, movies, TV, politics, technology, and current events. You can count on getting a dose of comedy, great guests, fun, the best talk around, and even more outrageous fun. That's why we love those two guys. Fun, fascinating, and real. We are live with the Brian and Lee Show. So unbelievable, we could not make this stuff up, even if we tried.
And it's great to be back here on a burning hot Saturday here in the Delaware Valley. I'm Brian.
I'm Lee.
And this is the Brian and Lee Show coming at you on WWDB 860 AM.
And it's great to be in the building, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. And in the air conditioning.
Yes, that's right. Gotta be in air conditioning. Yeah.
Absolutely. It almost feels like summer already.
Well, it's getting there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
I normally have this theory that it doesn't get really hot until Memorial Day.
Yeah,
that's usually true, but then it really doesn't get hot until the 4th of July.
Once you hit Memorial Day, that's when it's that hot weather people can't stand. And then once you get to Black Friday and Thanksgiving, that's when it gets cold.
Yeah, yep. Well, that's true. Normally, but that's right.
I have the numbers to back this up, that once you get to the 4th of July, it gets unbearably hot.
I'm cool with that. I'd rather have hot weather than cold.
That's true.
I want to sweat. I want to go for walks again.
And sweat.
And sweat. I want to be able not to see because all the sweat just dripping down from my eyes.
We actually went for a walk today, Brian and I.
What time?
Huh?
What, around here?
No, 10 o'clock in the morning.
I was going to say, if it was around here, let me know.
Yeah. No, it was early in the morning. Well, early for me.
Yeah.
That's early for me, too, I got you.
We went to vote.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was good.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other day.
It was.
I'm from New Jersey, so we don't get to vote till June 5th, I think.
That's Yeah, you're later on. Yeah, because it's a primary.
That's right.
Election. Yeah, it was okay. We were like...
number 10 and 11.
Yeah, 10 and 11 persons to come in.
Oh, really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty low. That's a pretty
low.
Oh, that's low. Yeah. I mean, because I didn't even think of like voting wise, but like
just like no. In our division, there's like 300 people, so right. 300-400 people, and we were number 10 and 11. So
that's that's not that high.
Yeah, not that high.
No, that's not. We had a client that was here earlier. He said there was only 8 people. He was number 8.
Number 8.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Yeah. Wow.
Speaking of WWDB and votings, I threw in a Tuesday night thing earlier on Tuesday, the day of the voting.
Yeah.
It's politic nights. So what I did is once all the paid program, you know, all the programs of what's going to be on the air that are supposed to be on the air after that.
Yeah.
Everything's all politics shows for the rest of the night for that Tuesday.
Really? Oh, boy.
That's what I did. That's what I set up.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from 9 p.m. up until 5 a.m. is just all politics shows that we have on WWDB.
So we'll be talking about politics.
I bet
for 8 hours.
I bet that by the end of that, you never wanted to hear politics again.
Well, I mean, maybe I'll listen here and there, you know, just to make sure everything's running on time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like you guys, I replay you guys throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
so I'm doing the same thing with Politic Night, Tuesday night.
We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You bet. So
sometimes I'll zoom in. Like, I'll go on my phone in the middle of the night, and I'll hear you guys. I'll keep it on. Mm-hmm. But once I hear my voice, then I turn it off.
You have difficulty sleeping, right?
Is that? No way. No,
Lee's voice puts you right to sleep.
I'll put you right to bed.
Hey, we'll put you right to bed.
Yeah, there you go. Well, speaking about politics, we have a good guest today you'll like. It's right in tune with politics. Amy Russo is going to be with us, and she's going to be talking about her book, Women of the White House.
That's right, talking about the first ladies that you don't really hear that much about.
No, that's right. And, so.
And she goes all the way back to the very beginning when they started looking at first ladies.
To Martha.
I don't think it's that far back.
Yeah, I think it is.
It is?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought Mary Todd Lincoln was the first lady that they really paid attention to.
Well, I think so. But I think she talks a little bit about Martha.
Well, of course.
We'll make her talk about Martha.
No, you don't make people do anything.
Oh, would you persuade
her? Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
We'll take her by the hand and lead her in that direction.
Okay. There you go.
You see, if you force somebody, then it turns into a political show.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What about, the flower show is coming up.
That's right, the Philadelphia Flower Show, and it's the first time ever that it's outside.
Yeah, outdoors. It's a whole outdoor thing. I can't wait.
All over FDR Park.
What's the date?
Date's going to be June 5th to June 13th.
Yeah.
There's morning sessions and evening sessions, well, afternoon sessions.
But you do have to get a ticket, right?
Yes.
Like, there's a tickets, certain time tickets?
Yes, and tickets are on sale now.
Tickets on sale now, and they're time tickets, so there's a date and a time, because they're only letting so many people.
That's right.
In at one time. So,
well, Friday 5th and Sunday, June 6th, the morning session is 8 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the afternoon session is 1 to 5.
Now, do you think you can walk all around the park? Yeah, you could do that.
You probably could.
8 to 1. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to play tennis down there. So, you know.
Well, do you think you can do it, though?
Not now.
No, I mean, to walk all around the park.
Yeah. No, I don't think I want to do that now.
Who says you want? I didn't say, did you want to do that? I said, could you do that?
Yeah, I could.
Listen to the question.
Yeah, I could do it because, listen, when we took our walk, you were huffing and puffing, but I was pretty going strong.
Oh, sure.
There you go.
You could tell he's a politician. He's always bending things.
Yeah.
So you, Lee?
Not me. No. No, we went for a walk.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Yeah, and he says that I was the one huffing and puffing.
Yeah, he was like a little out of breath, and but I was going strong.
See, that's when I started.
The thing is
that
he was mistaking huffing and puffing with me smelling the fresh air.
Oh, okay. All right.
Usually, once I eat like a large meal and I start heavily breathing, I was like, I got to go for a walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one of our guests. In future weeks is going to be someone from the flower show.
Oh, really? That's good. I can't wait for that.
Talk about.
Hopefully, me and you'll be matching red shirts again during that time.
I hope so. Yeah.
You never know.
I just realized that now.
Do you have a red shirt on?
Burgundy. Like the same type of red.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. It looks good. Looks good on me.
These listeners are missing out on what we're wearing.
Well, it's radio. That's a nice thing.
Exactly.
So
we could say you're wearing a 3-piece suit.
Yeah, well,
we are both red 3-piece suits.
Exactly, the Wink Martindale suit.
That's right.
So things are happening in India again, right?
Yep, they're still getting the worst of it.
Yeah,
when it comes to COVID,
they're getting the worst of it. We're shipping doses of vaccine over there, but it's going to take time.
It is going to take time.
Yeah.
And so, for a lot of people, they say time is something we don't have.
No, we're running in a race for the roses.
What do you think this is, the Preakness?
The Preakness, yeah. Let's talk about the Preakness. Did you watch it?
I did not.
You did not, yeah. Well, I watched it.
I usually wind up missing the Preakness for one reason or another.
You know, it wasn't that exciting. This horse... with 11 to 1 shot, came up from behind.
And wound up winning it?
Yeah. Yeah. The other horses were running, and...
And the one who won the Derby was probably finished second or third? Or did he not even finish in the top three?
No, he didn't even finish it, I don't think, in the top three.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think he came in. He was like... a little behind. He was huffing and puffing like you walking. He was huffing and puffing, trying to get,
Well, at least he has an excuse. He's got a 100-pound person on its back.
Right. He just didn't want to, I don't think he wanted to run. So I think the Preakness is a little longer. Is that right?
Yeah, it is, because the Kentucky Derby is the shortest, and then the other two get progressively longer.
Longer, so... That's what happened.
Yeah, and the Belmont is the last and the longest.
Right. And that's why it's hard to win these races, you know. It's hard to win a Triple Crown
because absolutely.
For that reason. Yeah, so.
And that's why there's only been about, 13, I think?
Something like that.
13
yeah.
or 14 yeah. throughout over 150 years.
Yeah. It's hard.
It is hard.
It's a difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody could do it. But it was entertaining, you know. As entertainment goes, it was pretty entertaining.
Exactly.
Okay.
But no, the Kentucky Derby is my old Kentucky home, which they don't sing anymore.
Yeah.
What song does the Preakness have?
Maryland, My Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or Maryland.
Maryland, exactly.
Maryland, oh Maryland, my Maryland. Yeah, it's a good song.
Well, at least it's not "Oh Captain, My Captain."
No, it's not the. It's not, and it's not the "Star Spangled Banner" either.
No, it's none of those.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
So let me guess. I guess the Belmont Stakes, the song they play is "New York, New York."
They do. How'd you know that?
Because I know that it's run in New York.
Yeah. I actually went to the track when I was in Baltimore.
The Preakness track?
Yeah, I went to the racetrack.
Did you run the track yourself?
No, it wasn't open. I just went around it. I drove around the outside of
the place, yeah.
Because I wanted to say that I was there. I was so close, you know?
Well, you know, it would have been more impressive if you said you ran the Preakness.
Well, if I could get inside,
you would have ran the Preakness.
I would have done it. Yeah, I would have. I would have liked to have done that. Yeah.
Well, maybe next time.
Next time, I am going to do it.
You bet. Instead, this time we're going to be right back with our special guest, Amy Russo.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the number one father and son team on radio, The Brian and Lee Show.
The following is a paid political announcement. Yeah, right.
Without a doubt, yeah. It's a real privilege and a pleasure to have on our guest line Amy Russo. She's a city reporter at the Providence Journal. She has written for the New York Post, Huffington Post, and NBC News. And she's written a book about the women of the White House, the illustrated story of the first ladies of the United States of America. Amy, how are you today?
I'm great, and yourself?
We're doing good.
We're doing wonderful, actually. Yeah, okay.
Wonderful. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, we're both vaccinated.
Absolutely. We did our civic duty the other day. We did vote.
We voted, yes. And
awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell me why you wrote this book at this time.
Well, the reason is kind of twofold. And the first thing is that there's a real lack of literature about the First Ladies currently. The first really comprehensive book about it, written by historian Betty Boyd Caroli, was published in 1987. So obviously, that's not too long ago in our history. And we haven't had a real, you know, trove of contributions since then. So this is really still an emerging, developing field. And I really encourage any other authors, any other people interested in history to research it, study it, and make a contribution if you can. And the other reason for this book coming out now is that, you know, I think a lot of Americans probably don't fully grasp the potential for the First Ladyship to be a more powerful role. Of course, there are women who entered reluctantly, maybe didn't do a whole lot with the role, weren't very political. But then you have women like, you know, those classic examples like Eleanor Roosevelt, Hillary Clinton, who really left a big mark and became power brokers in their own right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And everyone, you know, is certainly concerned and interested in the president of the United States, but many times it's the first lady that can wield influence and power in her office. And, you know, she's sleeping with the president of the United States. So there's ample time to use her influence if she wants to do that.
Are you sure about that, Lee?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that they had separate bedrooms.
Well, sometimes, but no. That's a good thing. How many first ladies actually slept with their husbands? I don't know. Did you get into that in the book?
No, I didn't. But that's certainly, you know, a question I haven't been asked before.
Well, that's why you came to this show.
Absolutely. You know? You get the questions you never thought would come up.
Yes, that's right.
There you go.
I remember going to the White House, and I met...
Then-president.
Yeah, then-president of the United States. It was back in the 80s.
Right, so it was Ronald Reagan.
It was Ronald Reagan, yeah. But everybody was asking for his wife, you know, and to come down. And she refused to do that. She didn't want to make an appearance. So I thought that was interesting. People were as interested in the first lady as much as the president. So I thought that was very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think in Nancy Reagan's case, she's a great example of someone who's got a little bit of the power behind the throne. I mean, you know, aside from being glamorous, and of course, both she and her husband started out as actors, and they seem to be a pretty close couple. She was influential, too, and supposedly engineered the firing of the president's chief of staff, Donald Regan, following the Iran-Contra affair. And even after that, she had urged the president to really be very controlled when making his apology statement at that time. She wanted it to be a prepared statement. She wanted him to read it. And his aides were kind of, you know, prodding him to get more out in front of the media, be more accessible, be more public. And she wanted it more restrained. And ultimately, he ended up going on her suggestion. So, you know, she did have some influence.
Absolutely. Which first lady do you think was the biggest asset to her husband politically?
Oh, I love this question, but I like to give kind of an unexpected answer, and I'd have to say Edith Wilson, just because of the sheer fact that when she was in the White House, Woodrow Wilson had obviously suffered a big stroke. He'd been really pretty much incapacitated to the point where his health was not allowing him to lead the country alone. And according to Edith's memoir, she had perused documents for him, given him certain information, briefed him on things and kept him from other things, liaised with politicians at that time. And it's anyone's guess as to whether or not she may have overstated her role. There's debate among historians as to whether that was the case. But, you know, suffice it to say that he definitely leaned on her during that time. There's no way he didn't. He laid up in bed, and there were people at the time who thought he really should have stepped down, was no longer capable of leading.
Not too many people, I guess, realize that, you know, that he was that sick, that ill, and other people were running the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I guess the fact also that we just didn't have the media we have today, I think, you know, now social media is so easily accessible, information spreads like wildfire, and of course back then media was still, you know, a relatively new development in the nation, and I think it was easier to keep things under wraps, and the situation in that case was especially controlled, and she was really, Edith Wilson was really Woodrow Wilson's keeper, guardian, protector during that time. She really wouldn't let anybody step in.
One of my favorite first ladies is Eleanor Roosevelt. She's a favorite of mine for many reasons. But do you think she – what strength do you think she has? What characteristics?
Well, she obviously, you know, was a remarkable woman in many ways and had fought a lot for just the average person and the disenfranchised person. And that included women. It included laborers. It included people of color. And one of her huge strengths, aside from her humanitarian spirit that I think propelled her to do a lot of the work she did, is that she was also a master of media, which I find very interesting as a journalist. She not only wrote books, which of course, you know, some first ladies did, she delivered radio broadcasts. She penned a nationally syndicated newspaper column. And the way that she was so out there and so public, so front-facing, it was almost as if I really would think that her reputation eclipsed her husband's at a point. She was just such a huge figure. I believe it was Truman who once called her First Lady of the World, which gives you a sense of how big her reputation had become.
Yes, yes. Another favorite First Lady of mine is Jackie Kennedy. I think the enormous strength that it took to
go through what she went through.
Well, and to mold that, she really changed the, I think she changed what a first lady is or should be. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I really do admire her strength and her stoicism, because I think that a lot of people remember her as you know, a real fashion icon, which of course she was. She had very close relationships with designers at the time, a lot of, you know, custom-made outfits, and she presented very well, and she brought to the White House a new standard in terms of the glamour and image of a first lady. I think there was a lot of image-making going on at that time, but of course, after her husband was assassinated, I think, you know, a lot of people who were around at that time remember that infamous photo that was taken of Jackie Kennedy on Air Force One standing next to LBJ while he was being sworn in. And she's wearing what was still a bloodstained outfit. And she's just completely stone-faced. And no matter how she was feeling at the time personally, she clearly displayed great composure and great strength outwardly.
Yeah, and that's that's what I was referring to, is that she had this enormous strength that to go through that, you know, and the composure to, for the good of the country, to stand next to LBJ and while her husband was just died and. So yeah, I mean that's remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Now, I met Bill Clinton a few times. I met Hillary Clinton a few times. Bill had this has this ability to captivate an audience. He has the ability to, you know, if there's 1,000 people in the room, to make you believe that he's talking just to you. You know, and that's hard to do. You know, that's a real skill. So, and Hillary, I don't think has that skill, or you know, but she can be very personable. Although, you know, the media doesn't portray her as that. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a tough situation for her. Because I looked back into her history, and I learned a lot of things that I didn't really know personally as a journalist myself about just how far back her interest and involvement in politics went. It goes all the way back to her speech at her college graduation, which was controversial in its own right. And mm-hmm. from day one, she really set out to say, you know, I'm going to be a woman in politics. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to be outspoken. People may not like what I have to say, and they'll just have to deal. And there's a lot to be said for that approach, especially when politics is still primarily a man's game. And I think, you know, she doesn't come across as being as personable as other politicians, partly because at this point in her life, she obviously has become so divisive for so many people that she's either, you know, loved or completely hated. So I think she's at this point in a little bit of an impossible situation. But regardless of that, in terms of her having served in the first ladyship, she set a completely new precedent for women in the position in that she was elected to Senate. And we've never seen anything like that before or since, first lady holding elected office.
What do you think about the current first lady?
I think her mark that she's made is that she's come into office with a 2 masters and a PhD, which makes her probably the most educated first lady we've had. We've had a couple other first ladies, Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama, who've had law degrees. So, you know, it depends how you personally evaluate those degrees over a PhD, masters, whatever. But, you know, clearly she's setting a new standard in the way of education for first ladies. And also she's continued to work while being first lady, which is something that has never occurred before. We've never had a first lady continue with her own career while also, I mean, you could say Hillary Clinton did because she was a politician at the same time, but we've never had a first lady continue in a career like teaching or something like that, an everyday career while being in the East Wing.
Yeah. Amazing woman. What do you make over the fuss that people are making that she shouldn't be called doctor?
Yeah, you know, I really chalk that up to the one op-ed that was written by one man who I don't believe even holds a PhD, who took issue with her being called doctor. You know, there was a lot of hubbub over it when it was published and mm-hmm. obviously created a lot of commotion. But I really do think that is primarily one man's thinking that we were all talking about at the time.
Well, you know, there's going to come a day, hopefully relatively soon, we'll see, when we're not talking about a first lady. We're talking about a first gentleman or first man. I don't know what the...
I would say first gentleman, mainly because, you know, it has to have more than one syllable.
Okay. All right.
it like rolls off the tongue better.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Are you looking forward to that day?
As a woman, yeah, I think, you know, me and every other woman, probably we're all looking forward to it, to see a more equal kind of representation in our highest office. And I do think, I do agree, it's probably first gentleman. Now that we have Doug Emhoff as mm-hmm. our first second gentleman, I believe that pushes the needle a little bit more in the direction of potentially having a first gentleman. When that will happen, I guess, is anybody's guess. But certainly we've had, you know, more female candidates who've gotten closer. We've got our Vice President Harris who came close. So you know, my thoughts are that it'll be sooner rather than later.
Has there been any first ladies that have been liabilities to their husband?
Yeah, there have been a few. I would say the most thought of example would be Mary Todd Lincoln. And, you know, part of that, I think, was beyond her control. It's suspected that she was dealing with a mental health issue during the time of her husband's presidency. It was likely bipolar disorder. And she suffered a lot of personal loss, too, not just the assassination of her husband, but the loss of two of her children. And, you know, anybody dealing with a mental disorder, it would be, you know, probably intensified and compounded by those personal tragedies as well. So she was known as somebody who spent excessively, who didn't manage her finances, whose behavior was a little erratic. And unfortunately, that's the reason why media paid attention to her rather than for any kind of contribution to the East Wing.
Very good. Very mm-hmm. good. Well, you'll probably have to amend your book when there's a first gentleman, I guess.
Yes. I do believe there will be an update. When that will be, I don't know.
Or it could be a brand new book. You never know.
Yeah. But how do you think the role will change when there's a first gentleman?
That's a really good question. You know, it's tough to say because one thing about the first ladyship is that it's not written into any of our governmental documents, right? It's not right, really an official right. position. It's ceremonial. So I do think certain things will stay the same. I think there will still be the expectation of an initiative on the part of the first gentleman. I think they'll be expected to champion some kind of cause, be front-facing, and maybe do something charitable. But whether it will be taken more seriously if a man is at the helm, I think that might be a possibility. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's the cynical part of me, but it doesn't feel currently that people pay that much attention to the first ladyship. So if a man was there because we're used to seeing men as presidents, might there be more attention? Maybe.
That's a good thought. I kind of, you know, when Doug is introduced, they make a big point of, you know, he's the second gentleman, you know, which somehow doesn't even sound right to me. You know, it just doesn't sound right. But
no matter how many times you hear it.
Yeah. I think sometimes I think he has this look of embarrassment on his face. I don't know.
He could be modest. You never know.
Could be, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. It's I guess maybe because we're not used to hearing that.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that could be it. And it might be maybe my own mentality that getting used to seeing a gentleman in that role. Yeah, so could be.
Yeah, maybe one day. We'll see. I mean, I think it'll happen. It's just a matter of time.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it will happen. So do you have a favorite first lady?
I do. Betty Ford. I think, you know, despite what anybody would think of her politics, certainly she was controversial for her time. Her husband was a Republican, and she at times held more liberal views. She was an unapologetic advocate for women's reproductive rights, and she was pretty outspoken on that. But aside from all that, weeks into her first ladyship, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And because it was the 70s, talking about that was very much taboo. But she was very public about it. And her first thing was she encouraged every woman in the country to go out and get screened. I don't know how many women went because of her, but, you know, it's said that there were thousands of women who, in the coming days, went out to get screened. And one of those women was the second lady at the time, who found out that she had breast cancer, underwent a double mastectomy. So obviously Betty Ford's work had real world impact. And then after she left the White House, I think a lot of people from that time would recall that she had become public about her struggle with drug and alcohol addiction. And that was something about which she was in denial, I think, during her time in the White House. But when she left, she was, you know, pretty candid about it. And she started up the Betty Ford Center in California, which has welcomed now so many people who are struggling with addiction, including a lot of celebrities and average folks too. So she's somebody who she struggled quite a bit, but each time she struggled, she turned it around into a public service.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good.
Yes, indeed.
Do you think that Martha Washington knew where the First Lady was going? You think if she could step back, come back, and look at where the First Lady is today compared to
the 1700s.
Yeah, when she was First Lady.
Yeah, I don't know if that might have put her off even more in terms of accepting the job, but she was one of the women who entered the office of the First Lady, you know, which hadn't even really been established yet, really reluctantly.
Mm-hmm.
She felt like it would put her life under a microscope and she'd have to watch herself, which a lot of women felt like that at the time and, you know, sometimes still do. But her job really revolved around the traditional functions of the role, planning formal dinners, public receptions, things of that nature. I think she, in that capacity, would have been quite shocked to see what the role is today and its capacity for influence and perhaps political influence. But I don't think, having read her comments from that time and how she was feeling about being First Lady, that she would have wanted to engage in that aspect of the role.
Mm-hmm.
So she was more of a private person?
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
And she really didn't want to be First Lady, but knew she had to step up to the role because of her husband's election, which she did willingly. She did her duty, but it was very much limited to traditional things and nothing political.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her husband really didn't want to be president, so it wouldn't be. It's not a surprise to me that she would have reservations about being First Lady. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, you might like this story, being interested in history. When I was in Colonial Williamsburg, they had a press conference for George Washington. I got to do some role playing, and
it was the day before he left office.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it was the day before he left office, so it was his last press conference, and I got to ask him a question, and I asked him, you could have stayed in this office forever. Why would you want to give this up? And he said, I never wanted to be president in the first place. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I never wanted the damn job.
Yeah, so I guess.
Yeah.
It makes sense then, maybe, that Martha Washington felt that way too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
It does.
Absolutely. Michelle Obama is one of my favorite. I think many people would say that she's a lot smarter than her husband. More politically savvy than her husband. I don't know if President Obama would agree with that, but she seems to, people seem to like her as much or more than President Obama.
Yeah, I think she was very personable. And aside from having a very well publicized initiative, which I think we all remember revolved around childhood health and combating childhood obesity, I think that was a great example of a really well done initiative that was very clear, well promoted, all of that. But aside from that, in her personal life, I think she was just, you know, came across as a very friendly, congenial person. She went on talk shows. She rode around in James Corden's car and did a sing along with him for his late night show. And You know, to be fair, Obama did stuff like that, too. I think he did, you know, some other late night things, too. So I think they both tried to be that way. But I think she especially came across as very, you know, kid friendly, you know, just in general friendly, just a likable, you know, warm hearted person.
If you could spend time with any first lady, you know, spend a day with them, which first lady would you choose?
I'd have to go with Eleanor Roosevelt. I know Betty Ford is my favorite, but I think just, you know, the number of remarkable contributions Eleanor made to the position of first lady and to the nation itself is just incredible. And I honestly, I'd love to ask her how she packed all that into her daily schedule, because it really is crazy when you look at the number of just engagements, activities, you know, things she championed, articles she wrote, broadcasts she delivered. I don't know how it's humanly possible, but she was just a powerhouse. So picking her brain about anything and everything would be a dream.
Absolutely. And, you know, her husband was ill during part of his presidency, and she actually picked up a lot of the slack. So I think that's an amazing in itself. But she did made a lot of other contributions as well, as you stated. So my wife as a child got to see her at a woman's luncheon that her grandmother took her to, and at the time she didn't have any idea. She knew it was Eleanor Roosevelt, but she didn't know that what impact she would have on her. She gave a tremendous speech, according to her.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. What a, you know, chance to get to see her in person.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Indeed. Where can our listeners buy a copy of your book?
So you can buy the book in Barnes & Noble. Their store should be carrying it, or you can buy it online at barnesandnoble.com. You can get it quite easily from Amazon as well. And I believe that Walmart and Target are selling it online, too. Great. And then you might want to check your local bookshop. Who knows? They might carry it.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
All right.
Well, I want to thank you for being a guest today. This was great. I enjoy history. I enjoy. And this is the first ladies are topics that, you know, whenever they talk about first ladies, it's usually an exhibit of their gowns or dresses, you know, that you see in museums.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's typically what you find about the first lady. So I'm really interested in this, and I can recommend your book to our listeners.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Amy. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to be right back after these words.
The man in the arena. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles. Or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. Whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. Who strives valiantly. Who errs. Who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, yo, how you doing? This is Vince Papali from Invincible, and you're listening to Brian Lee.
When it comes to the father and son team, you got to listen to Brian and Lee. It's the only way to go. They entertain some of the coolest things from the past to the future to right now. So tune in.
Tune in, absolutely.
Well, they're doing that. Yeah. They're tuning in.
They're tuning in, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for being here. And
it was good, good discussion.
Good discussion, absolutely. Yeah.
I love history, yeah.
I know you do. And it seems like you're becoming more of a basketball nut.
Well, yeah, I watched the 76ers a lot this year on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the playoffs.
They did it, and they start tomorrow.
And then the number one seed, right?
That's correct, yeah. So however far they go up until the finals, they will be at home, or at least have the home field advantage.
So do you think they can make it through the first the first series?
I don't know.
How many games do they have to win?
I think it's four in each series.
Oh, four in each series.
Okay. Unless it's still the first series is five games, in that case it would be 3-4, 4-4.
All right. Well, you're confusing the hell of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
In other words, the first, if it's the way I think it might be,
yeah,
the first series is five games, and then the other series after that is seven games.
Oh, okay. All right, I see.
So you have to win 11 games total.
Okay, yeah.
I think, or is
no.
that the right?
No.
No, excuse
it's
me.
Best 50, out of,
if it's 15 total wins that you need in order to win the championship.
Yeah, but it's best out of five.
Best out of seven. Best out of seven. Best out of seven.
Right, right.
And you need to win 15 of those games in order to win the title.
Huh. But you can win more than 15 games.
No, you can't.
Oh, you can't.
No.
You got to win 15.
Three wins in the first round, then four, then four, then four. Add it all up, it's 15.
15. Wow. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think they can win the whole thing?
I don't know. It's been 20 years since they've been to the finals.
Yeah. I know.
So it'll be an interesting...
I watched that game.
You watched that?
Yeah.
Back in 2001?
With Iverson.
Iverson, yeah. What was interesting about that team is that not only did they make it, they didn't win the title, but they played every single game.
Right.
They took every series to the max leading up to the NBA Finals. But unfortunately, they had nothing in the tank left to take on the Lakers.
No, I know. They died. They died.
Just like in 1980 and 1982.
It was crazy.
Exactly. They only beat him that one time, 83. Moses Malone and Fo-Fo-Fo.
Right.
Which turned out to be Fo-Fi-Fo. They did not sweep the Milwaukee Bucks in that series.
No, they did not. They did not. But I saw them win with Dr. J.
Right. But apparently Dr. J was not the big story that year. It was all about Moses Malone.
Yeah.
Dr. J became kind of a sub-story because of the fact that they said, okay, wow, he finally got his ring. Great. But then here's this other story about this old guy coming in from San Antonio.
Right.
And doing all the heavy lifting.
Well, you know, Dr. J was quite a player, though.
He was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable.
I've seen a lot of his dunks.
Yeah, unbelievable guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a few hours in a hot tub with him that I'll talk about it.
On another time.
Well, I don't know. I could talk about it now if you want, but I don't think I will.
I don't know. I don't think we have enough time to talk about it all.
No, no. But, yeah, Dr. J in the hot tub.
Exactly.
So I watched Fear the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it, Brett?
No, I missed it. I had pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Wrestling pay-per-view with my father. My father.
Does pay-per-view still
3.
Exist?
You remember that term in Austin Powers 3? Fajr?
Oh, Fajr. Oh, yeah.
Fajr.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, there's pay-per-view.
Stop talking freaky deaky Dutch.
There you go.
He was asking if there's still pay-per-view.
Yeah, they still. So the way they do fans is they do it through Zoom.
Oh,
so instead
okay.
of chairs, it's just TV screens.
No, because back in my day, it was you push buttons on a remote, and all of a sudden the event comes on your screen, but it usually lasts only about 90 minutes.
I got you. It's on the Peacock app now.
Aha.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you kids and these apps.
Yeah. It's cheaper to have pay-per-view instead of paying $60, you pay $10 a month.
Oh,
well,
so you get movies.
Yeah, Fear of the Walking Dead was good. It was, they brought John Dory Sr. into the story. And June meets him, and they get into this discussion about John Dory. And he hasn't seen his son in over 40 years. So it's this was before the
apocalypse.
Apocalypse, yeah. So they get into some things, you know, and he's been tracking this guy who is his name's Marshall. And he's the head of this group that's
underground
and crazy and wants to destroy the rest of the world. Yeah.
And he was in prison, you said, right?
He was in prison, yeah. And John Dory's father, John Dory Sr., put him in prison. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the apocalypse happened. And
how is he going to put him in prison again? There's not really any laws.
No, he's going to kill him.
That's a good point.
I guess they're going
to kill him. He's that big of a criminal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guy's crazy.
And the people under the ground, they're like, no, that's how you see things or something like that. Yeah. I forget.
Well, he's a sales guy, so he's selling.
He could sell you? You think he can convince you to be in his cult?
No, I don't think so. No. Not at all. Not at all.
And by the way, that storyline did not come from real life.
What storyline?
About kidnapping somebody and killing them.
What do you mean?
It almost sounds like something that came out of today's news.
I hope not. No.
Nah, not at all.
Not at all.
It could have, I guess, but no.
But, you know, it seems like nowadays it's hard to tell what's really fiction.
Right. Well, yeah, it was good. I don't want to give away too much to you, or to the audience. So
exactly.
I won't tell you too much.
We'll instead go on to the bad news. We lost another funny actor. Charles Grodin died at the age of 86.
Wow. He was an interesting guy.
He was an interesting actor. I mostly know him for his Muppet work.
Yeah, Muppets.
On the Great Muppet Caper and the Muppets Go to Disney World.
Yeah. They were... he was in that. He was in a lot of other things, too.
Yeah, a lot of kids in the 90s remember him from only Beethoven and Beethoven Second.
Oh, okay. With a dog.
Yeah. Huh. He was the father in that in those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a funny
guy. And he sounded just like you. No. I'm not going to be having five dogs in this house.
No, not at all.
Well, in your case, it was, I'm not going to have one dog in this house.
That's great. I watched the Angelina Jolie movie on TV.
Is it called Angelina Jolie?
Well, she's in it. She's the star of the show.
It's one of those movies where, like we said before, it's the name's bigger than the name of the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's something like Don't Kill Me or, you know.
Any good? I heard about it.
She's protecting this young kid. There's a forest fire, and they're trying to. These bad people are trying to kill this kid, and she's trying to protect him. But you know, I thought it was a totally different movie than what it was.
What did it come off as?
A Bird Box.
I thought she was going to be like a CIA ninja. You know that she had all this training.
And what did she end up being?
A firefighter.
Oh, that's cool, too.
Yeah, it's cool, but...
The CIA's cooler.
No, it's not. It's not cool. It's hot.
It's hot, yeah.
Firefighter.
But, yeah, I mean, it was good. Yeah, she was good in it. Not a great movie.
But it almost sounds like a Bird Box kind of movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the movie that I want to see, it's coming out, is Quiet Place 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we saw Quiet Place 1, and now 2 is coming out.
I don't think I saw Quiet Place 1.
You didn't see it?
I don't remember if I saw it.
I thought you saw it with us.
No? I don't know. I've seen so many movies, and the last one that I got to see in the theater was one that I've seen many times.
Well, Quiet Place 1 is about the... you can't make any sounds, because if you do, these giant cockroaches will sweep down and kill you.
Yeah, no, don't remember seeing
that. So these are like beings from another planet or something, and they're fighting against, but you got to be quiet. You know, you can't, there's not much dialogue in the movie. So
it basically almost seems like a silent film.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a silent film. Did you like the movie?
I didn't see the second one, but I saw the first.
Yeah, I saw the first.
Yeah, I still don't remember it.
I'd survive because I know sign language.
Oh, that's right.
I'm pretty sure I don't think I've seen it, so because it does not sound familiar.
Does not. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything for tech time? Anything going on there?
Besides the candy iPhone.
Yeah, well,
we talked about that.
We talked about
the 12.
Yeah.
Not a lot of tech going around nowadays.
Yeah, you said you love purple phones last week.
Yeah, that's what
right.
I said. Yeah.
Well, yeah. With the tech world changing very rapidly, you know, it's surprisingly that we don't hear that much more about other things besides just the iPhone and the iMac.
Well, they're running out of chips. Yeah, there's a shortage of chips.
Yep, and that's why there is a ridiculous shortage between the PlayStation 5 and, say, the Nintendo Switch.
Right.
You know, the Switch, they can get about a lot of units to stores, but the PlayStation 5, they can only get about 3 or 4 units to each store.
Because they don't have the chips.
They don't have the chips,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also, they made it a fat unit again, just like the PS3.
Not good.
You know,
because
it overheats.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, we're going to talk about more about the chip shortage and a lot of other things next week, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We'll have another great guest for you. I'll be back. Brian will be back. Brett will be back.
And hopefully we'll be talking good news about the 76ers.
Yeah. And we'll try to unravel some of this confusion about wearing a mask and not wearing a mask. But in the meantime... wear a mask when you can.
Exactly.
But if you've been vaccinated, don't worry about it.
Just keep your card on you to prove that you've been vaccinated.
There you go. Be strong. Stay strong.
The Brian and Lee Show is a BLS production.